This isn't a newsflash. We have all learned about faith as children, and then we know that it echoes into our adult lives. We've certainly talked about it in this service through song and through story and celebrating the service of one of our volunteers. And we've all talked about it before, whether it be at the dinner table or over lunch with a friend or coffee with our partner or, of course, in a counseling session. In fact, it's often that we find ourselves looking back on childhood experiences and recognizing the painful, complicated ways we were treated and now deserve our full attention for reconciliation. However true that is, I want to encourage us today to think back onto our childhood experiences of faith, and in some cases, you may have to salvage something beautiful among your ashes. Some people would hear about my upbringing and say that there were many obstacles with which I had to learn to cope. Learning to cope is indeed a catchphrase in psychology, in general conversation, and as I learned, online. When I Googled the phrase, learning to cope, there were thousands of articles describing what people are coping with these days. Families are learning to cope with the loss of a loved one. Children are learning to cope with depression or learning disabilities. Coworkers are learning to cope with stress in the workplace. Law firms are learning to cope with alternative billing plans. WikiHow gave answers and guidelines on how to cope if you are a highly sensitive person. Who isn't? I don't know. The elderly are learning to cope with technology, as are some of us here at SPRU, speaking of the wiki. And, not surprisingly, the middle-class American is learning to cope during hard economic times. As I clicked through the Google links, I could hardly take it anymore, and thus began the evolution of this theme. I read a few more, but the one that really got me was a link about Operation Purple, which is a summer camp that is based in Alexandria, and it was created in 2004 in order to help military kids cope with having a deployed parent. After I skimmed the website for the National Family Military Association, I turned on the news, and simultaneously, I heard President Obama's timetable for withdrawing troops from Iraq. Then, the theme finally clicked. We sure talk about learning to cope with what life brings. But how often do we talk about learning to hope with what life brings, or doesn't bring? I definitely learned how to hope as a child. Like most children, I learned this skill through my caretakers, which just happened to be my mom and dad. I'll never believe that I've compartmentalized their behavior so accurately, but with every year and every experience, as I evolve and my memory of them evolves, I know that my perspective will transform. But today, I can say that I've easily learned about how to hope because of them, and I've also learned a little bit about false hope because of them. My mother never acted like a woman who was coping well. She acted like a woman who was hoping well. In our dysfunctional family, there were 5 mouths to feed on 1 nurse's salary. And when it comes to financial burdens, I remember the reduced lunch line at school. My ticket was pink so that I would stand out. It only cost 40 cents. But that was better than the free lunch line on the other side of the cafeteria. So I remember thinking, one day I'll be in the normal lunch line. But I'll tell you now, I never wondered if I would be in the free lunch line. I just assumed I wouldn't be. And I remember layaway. Anyone remember layaway? Okay. School clothes were usually part of the layaway. And I always got them, Mom, I look so good, yay. And then I thought, am I ever going to see these again? Because layaway was something you did that you put aside hoping you'd be able to pay for it later. I always loved my new shoes, too. It was like Christmas, opening them up, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I remember these. And I remember the food that was packaged in black and white, with the labels that were black and white. Generic had an entirely different meaning when I was younger. We're not talking about like the store-bought brands. We're talking about government cheese here. Yeah, let me tell you. But even as I reference that story now, I think about my own obstacles during this economic depression and this crisis. I just know that if I end up with government cheese, I'll be okay. And it'll just be for a season. Now, when it comes to the question of how I learned to hope, there is an extension to that subject. Sometimes hope can actually be false. I've been guilty of setting myself up for false hope. I self-published my first book, and that will always be my number one example of false hope. I was destined to be famous and a well-respected author all the way to the bank. Or not. So, when I think about how to hope, sometimes that can lead me astray. And I have to wonder, where'd that come from? It reminds me of a song by Dar Williams, who's singing about being in counseling, and when she's in session and she hits a rut, the counselor says, "Try the other parent." So, I learned to hope extravagantly and take big gambles in my life because of my father. No, don't get me wrong. My mom is a big dreamer, completely supportive of all the crazy ideas I have and the children, you know, her children. But it was his ideas of false hope that contributed to the economic hardships that I just spoke about, because my dad had a gambling problem. Of course, he would say he had a winning problem. But, you know, that's how it goes. The bottom line is the guy plays the lottery still since 1950-something, every day. It's his religion on some level. And yet, it's this same crazy old man that I love and adore who recently said, "Democrats are going to elect a black man. Am I really going to elect a black man in the presidency? That's just crazy." A little false hope when he said it in early 2008, or perhaps, what do you know, my dad actually got something right. So I'm very grateful for how I learned to hope as a child, with what life brings or with what life didn't bring. It is indeed all a matter of perspective. And speaking of perspective, I want to share a story with you that we will use to prompt the polylog in a few moments. The story captures the concept of adversity and how it can affect our lives. It captures for us the question, are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? A young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She did not know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as one problem was solved, a new one arose. Her mother took her to the kitchen. She filled 3 pots with water. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil on the stove without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners, and she fished out the carrots and put those in the bowl. And she fished out the eggs and put those in the bowl. And she ladled out the coffee out and put those in the bowl. Turning to her daughter, she said, "Tell me, what do you see?" "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. She brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did and noticed that they got soft. Then she asked her to take the egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. And finally, she asked her to smell and sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she smelled and tasted the rich aroma. The daughter then asked, "What's the point, Mom?" Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water, but each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to the water, it softened and became weak. The egg went in fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior, but after sitting in the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. After they were in the boiling water, they changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked the daughter. "When trials and adversity knock on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean?" Well, obviously, my parents raised a coffee bean. I actually have a little right here that I'm just going to go ahead and sip. Jabberoo, go there. Great. Later in the polylog, we'll have a chance to discuss that with each other, but at this time, I will ask that now may we give of our many resources for the work of this, our congregation.